Not long after midnight on February 13th, 2023, the ARCA detector at the KM3-NET-IT experiment off the coast of Italy in the Mediterranean detected a very high energy event of unknown origin. At the time of the discovery, this was branded the Impossible Neutrino and remains an open mystery to this day. Actually, a very deep mystery in more ways than one. The particle is actually a muon and is known as KM3-2302-13A. It came into the detector at a near horizontal direction, only about 6 degrees above the horizon. This is to suggest that it was the product of a very high energy cosmic neutrino in the vicinity of the ARCA detector that was 35 times more energetic than anything seen before with neutrinos, and represented an unknown mechanism of accelerating neutrinos very differently at very high energies than what we've ever seen before. Whatever accelerated this neutrino, if indeed it was one, was exotic, and theories for what did it range from the neutrino being a true cosmogenic neutrino produced from interactions of ultra-high energy cosmic rays with background photons in the universe, or even the evaporation of a primordial black hole, if those even exist. But that's if it was a neutrino, it may not have been. Indeed, it may represent our first detection of a particle of dark matter. First to the detector that picked it up. The rather unwieldy name KM3-NET, also called the Cubic Kilometer Neutrino Telescope, is a weird telescope indeed, because it's sitting at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. Detecting neutrinos is hard work already. Neutrinos actually really can be described already as a particle of a kind of dark matter in their own right. They are extremely small, nearly massless, and are highly non-interactive with matter except under rare conditions. Basically, they just sail through most baryonic matter and only occasionally get close enough to anything to interact. But when one does crash into something, an atomic nucleus, it produces a muon that we can pick up. This experiment, and one similar called Ice Cube in Antarctica, work on this principle. With KM3-NET, essentially it's an array of thousands of Water-Cherenkov neutrino telescopes that study neutrinos originating from space and Earth's atmosphere. Cherenkov light itself is rather spooky. It's a faint blue glow produced when a particle exceeds the speed of light in water, almost like the light equivalent of a sonic boom. That might sound weird, breaking the speed of light, but the key here is the medium it happens in. Light doesn't vary in its speed, rather it gets delayed in different mediums like water versus space because the light interacts with the water molecules before it exits, delaying it. This means that you can fire a high enough energy particle into water and exceed the speed of light in water or other mediums like air. And the result of this is the emission of Cherenkov light. You see this most famously as the blue glow of nuclear reactors. But high energy particles from space smashing into water do it too, and these instruments study those emissions. In a paper earlier this year, link in the description below, Bhupal Dev and colleagues at Washington University in St. Louis, my hometown, suggested something else. Maybe this was not a neutrino at all, but instead a detection of a dark matter particle accelerated by a blazar. And this is where the mystery deepens. And if it's correct, then we can actually turn our neutrino detectors into dark matter detectors relatively straightforwardly, and thus would allow us to test dark matter hypotheses and finally unravel what this stuff is. The problem is, it's still unsettled as to whether dark matter even exists. There are no shortage of hypothetical phenomena in this video that we've never actually observed. But if it does exist, if it's a single particle, or more complicated than that, and a group of particles and so on, but some answers may come from this work. The mystery deepens in that the other detector, Ice Cube in Antarctica, should have also seen this event due to the extremely high energy nature of it, but perplexingly, it didn't see it at all. The researchers point out that this can be explained if the particle was not a neutrino, but rather a particle of dark matter. The shallow incoming trajectory of the particle meant that it had to travel through more of planet Earth, meaning there was a higher chance of producing a muon in the Mediterranean than there was at Antarctica, but in a different manner than what a neutrino would have done. The culprit accelerator they present is a blazar. A blazar is an extremely powerful high-energy environment in the universe. It's an active galactic nucleus, the center of a galaxy, and a subset of quasars, with a supermassive black hole acting on it to produce a relativistic jet firing out of the galaxy. The jet is made up of ionized matter moving at near the speed of light, hence relativistic, pointing in the direction of the observer. This makes blazars appear to us, if we are aligned with them, much brighter than they would be if the jet wasn't pointing at us, which most aren't, and those are quasars in general. We see all sorts of powerful emissions in the electromagnetic spectrum from blazars, across the board really, and are powerful sources of gamma rays in particular. But blazars have an interesting feature. They are extremely dynamic and vary a lot in their output. They can actually dramatically fluctuate in brightness over just hours or days. And as a weird aside, the fact that we really only see these as blazars if they are pointed at us, a perspective effect, some of them also give the illusion of material traveling towards us and over the speed of light. But it's an optical illusion because the material is traveling at us at near the speed of light itself. A weird effect, but it doesn't break physics, it's just perspective. As an aside, as far as quasars are concerned, while the Milky Way currently is not one, there is evidence that its nucleus could have been more active just 6 to 9 million years ago, and may have had other periods in its lifetime of having a more active galactic nucleus, but not really full-on quasar unless it happened very early in the galaxy's history. Indeed, it probably did. That seems to be a rule. Quasar activity levels seem to be something young galaxies do, not old ones like ours. But even if the Milky Way were to go quasar in the future, the preparation for that would take geologic periods of time, and when it happened, it almost certainly wouldn't affect us. We're too far from the center. It would be an electromagnetic light show for the astronomers of the galaxy, but it's a misnomer that it would sterilize the galaxy. It's not likely that it would. If a civilization were unlucky enough to find itself in the diffuse halo of stars around their galaxy directly above the jet, then yes, they won't survive that. Or if you were too close to the center of the galaxy. But that's actually already a problem for life in the universe. That's already, even in normal times, a high radiation environment that would be tough for life to arise in. If a technological civilization were to colonize there, they probably would have defenses and shielding against this sort of thing. But back to the particle. So the blazar, in this context, would have fired the particle towards Earth in its beam. The thinking is that high-energy protons in a blazar should, if the particle hypothesis of dark matter is correct, and it's the front-runner, should transfer their energy to dark matter more efficiently than it would neutrinos. But this would appear to be a rare event, because the vast majority of detections by IceCube and KM3Net were normal neutrinos, and not consistent with dark matter. But those were at much lower energies than this event was. Enter in Occam's razor for the counterpoint. Rare is rare. So it may be the more likely explanation is that this was just a normal neutrino that got caught up in some exotic process that shot it at abnormally high energies towards Earth. The problem there is that the high energy hypothesis for a neutrino also appears to be an unlikely set of circumstances, because again, we've only seen one neutrino do this in this way. What's interesting, however, is that the dark matter hypothesis for events like this should be testable. The reason for this is that, theoretically in principle, any incoming particle of dark matter, again, if the particle nature of it is correct, should actually produce two muons. The current detectors at both neutrino observatories aren't precise enough to actually tell if there are two muons hitting at the same time. They would just still show it as a single muon detection. The problem with increasing precision is that it's difficult and hard to go to that level of muon history reconstruction in this way, in an already extremely difficult field of study and observation. But the payoff for this work is huge. If it can be determined that we can indeed make detectors that can pick up and prove dark matter, then that's a major leap forward in science. Still though, given the rarity of events of this type, you'd expect to see more events like this than we do. simply because most of the matter in the universe should be dark matter. It's the most common thing. So you'd think it would get accelerated more often and we'd see it everywhere in events like this, and we don't. Whatever it is, it's very rare. As far as studying neutrinos in general, one of the holy grails of that is to eventually detect, and if it is indeed there, study the hypothesized cosmic neutrino background leftover from the Big Bang. If this exists, it actually would have been created absurdly early in the Big Bang process. To make a comparison, the cosmic microwave background, or CMB radiation, dates from when the universe was 379,000 years old. That's early, but it's a brick wall. It's the earliest information we have. Compare that to the neutrino background. It would date from when the universe was just 1 second old. It would give us a window into the first moment after the Big Bang. Since neutrinos only rarely interact with anything, these primordial neutrinos, the CNB as it's termed, should still be out there at a temperature of 1.95 Kelvin. The big problem is that is actually extremely low energy, the opposite problem of the super high energy particle. Neutrinos at normal energies are already hard enough to detect. Low energy is currently out of our reach until we can figure out how to build a detector sensitive enough to study the CNB. If indeed we can, it may be beyond the limit of what we can physically do. But there is indirect evidence of its existence, so maybe our detectors today are a glimpse of what science in this field will develop into decades from now. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently experiencing neutrino fatigue after having had them pass through me my entire life and wondering why they're so snobby and non-interactive. I guess baryonic matter isn't good enough for them. I think it's more than shyness, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.